You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. That's Matthew 5:38-42. And you can all be seated.
Will the Lord be with you? So we're continuing this series in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you have been with us as we've been working through this, you would see that Jesus has gone to this mountaintop and he has these groups of disciples that are coming to hear him teach. And he shares what is probably the greatest sermon that was ever preached in history, where he talks about what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And so at the very beginning of chapter 5 of Matthew, we see that he gives these 8 blessing statements, or known as the Beatitudes, which talks about what it means to have or be a part of the blessed life, what it means to truly be blessed in the eyes of God. And he goes on from there then to say, and those who are citizens of the kingdom are called to make a positive impact on the world by being salt and light. And then in verse 17, Jesus shifts in the sermon and he starts to focus specifically on his relationship to the law and the prophets. Or that is to say, his teachings in regards to the Old Testament. What has he come to do? Is he giving us something completely different from the Old Testament? Has he come to abolish it, or has he come to fulfill it? And so what Jesus does then, moving forward, is he starts to show how he has come to be the fulfillment of all that has been prophesied in the Old Testament. And so he starts to share what we see as 6 different statements that are in the Old Testament, certain commands or certain laws. And what he starts to do is he starts to contrast his teachings with that of the scribes and the Pharisees of the day. Because what the religious leaders of the day, what they were doing is they were actually taking certain quotes or certain scriptures and they were basically shaping them to suit themselves, to make themselves look righteous in the eyes of men. And so what Jesus comes to do is he actually starts to show what is known as the spirit of the law, where the religious leaders, they were focusing on the letter of the law. They were just trying to really focus in on one little phrase and see, this is what we're doing. This is how we're righteous. And what Jesus is basically showing us, he says, there's so much more to it. He's saying it's not just about your physical action. It's what's going on in your heart. And so Jesus starts to, as I said, unpack 6 different statements. And we're going to continue that today where we're in verses 38-42. And we see that Jesus discusses what it means to look at the law of retaliation. How are we to respond when those who do wrong are evil to us? So that's what we're going to be looking at today in this text. And if I could have Sarah, if you could move me forward in the text. So if you are following along, in the bulletin today, we have 3 different points that you're welcome to follow along with us today. And the first one that I want to draw out is we need to remember that when Jesus teaches, he often taught hyperbolically. That is to say, whenever Jesus would teach, a lot of times he would use hyperbole or he would use exaggerated speech to make a very important point. And the reason I say that before we go into the text immediately is because if you don't recognize that Jesus will use metaphor or hyperbole or different literary devices at times, you can get really, really confused. And you actually might end up having, if you have this strict literalism throughout all of Scripture, it can actually lead to a range of crazy theological systems, right? So if you took Jesus literally whenever he says, I am the door, people would start trying to grab onto his hand and try to open him, right? That doesn't make sense, right? Because clearly he's using metaphor. Or earlier in this sermon even, we said Jesus said, you know, if you were to look at a woman and to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. And he says, if you're tempted to do that, pluck out your eye or cut off your hand, right? But we all understand that we are all adulterers, right? We have all broken God's commands. And so if that were the case, every single one of us would be blind. So you guys wouldn't see me preaching up here. And you guys would all be losing all your hands, right? So I wouldn't even be able to bring my Bible up here to preach to you or read it because I lost my hands and my eyes, right? So we see Jesus uses hyperbole also. And so I think it's important that we, as we look to this text today, we need to ensure that we recognize he is using hyperbole in some of these statements. That doesn't mean we don't take and apply what he's teaching. He has a very important message that is radical for the day and also radical for us to apply to our lives. But we do need to make sure that we first look and say, how does this make sense in context? And so what we need to do then is also recognize when we're seeing Jesus' teachings here, these are focusing on personal wrongs that we may experience. That's personal wrongs that are in view here, not social or governmental crimes. Because what some people are going to do as they look at this text today is they're going to be like, okay, so this needs to be the policy for the government. This needs to be the policy for all the nations. That means this is how police officers are to respond. This is how our military is supposed to respond. And what you can do is you can actually see how it can become an extreme example to where you basically allow chaos and wickedness to flourish. And basically how to say that don't stand up for justice is how some people take it. And it literally, some people will take this text and start to promote it as a teaching of pacifism. We're basically just saying, don't ever do anything against anybody, basically. And so I think it's important that we recognize these are focusing on the individual level. If you are personally wronged by someone, how are you to act? And so I think that's why as we look to this text today, just like Jesus was emphasizing with the scribes and the Pharisees, it's important that we look at the spirit of the law and not simply the letter of the law. We got to see what is the context, what is the teaching that Jesus is really wanting us to apply and interpret for our lives. And so that's why one principle you always want to do is when you interpret scripture, you always do it with scripture, right? So that means if you see a text that seems to be somewhat different or it seems to be where it's a little bit harder to understand, always interpret it in light of the easier scripture. So I think we need to do that. And then finally, as we look to the spirit of the law, we need to remember that it is only possible that we can fully appreciate what Christ is saying here because of the spirit of God. As we have become born again, as we have received God into our lives, he makes this revelation available to us. So with that being said, as we have seen that, okay, so Jesus does teach hyperbolically. So what is the message? What is the main point of what he's saying today? Well, I think that is that he is teaching us to overcome evil with good. Jesus wants you as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. He wants you to overcome evil in this world with good. And I think all of us can agree there is a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot of wickedness. We see in the news, in the social media platforms, in our daily lives, at where we work, at our schools, in our relationships. We just see all the time how there's this sin problem. We see wickedness. We see people being divisive, gossiping, just all of this hatred in the world. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying that we are to be radically different. To be a citizen or a subject of the kingdom of God, we are to be different from the world who retaliates with evil. When evil is done to them, they do evil back. And what Jesus is saying is don't buy into the world's teachings. Buy into the teachings of heaven, which is to say, do good. Overcome the evil because good is greater than evil. And so what he does then in verse 38 is he quotes some different texts from the Old Testament. We see in him quoting partially from Leviticus 24 verses 19 to 20 as well as Deuteronomy 19 verse 21, and there are others. And what this is known as to the people of Israel, they would know this as the law of retaliation. So this is how you are to act when it comes to injustices being done to you. And in the Latin, this is known as the lex talionis. And so Jesus, in verse 38, he quotes this from the Old Testament. And I'm just going to read for you those two verses, Leviticus 24, 19 to 20, and Deuteronomy 19, 21. It says, "If a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has cause disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. Deuteronomy, your eye shall not pity, life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. So as you see clearly, this is the allusion that Jesus is making in this text as he's once again taking a scripture that some of the scribes and the Pharisees were using in their day, and they were modifying it for their own well-being, for their own benefit. And so Jesus, he quotes this scripture, and it's important that we notice that retaliation was common in the ancient Near East at this time. Jesus knows what's going on, and a lot of the time what people were doing is that they, whenever something was done to them, they would basically not just do what was equivalent to what was done, but they would actually increase. And we even see that in our world today, right? Someone does something bad and you're like, I'm going to get them worse. I'm going to make sure that I get on top of them, right? So basically what would happen is you'd start to see these like feuds that would start to just increase and get more and more out of order, and it would be more chaotic, and basically it just continued to escalate over time. So there's this vengeance that continues for generations even with different family groups. And so what this law of retaliation that was brought into scripture at that time, it wasn't necessarily saying, hey, it's good to just everybody take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's all just, let's all just hurt each other. The point of the law of the Old Testament is this is actually to protect the innocent from certain injustices. So it wasn't meant to encourage injustice. It was, if there was something done wrong to you, there is a just way in which someone can be compensated, right? So if you hurt something or damaged someone's property, you were to pay the price for what it cost for that person's property. It wasn't encouraging retaliation. Rather, it was just setting up a form of justice for the court system. And what this also would do, when it says an eye for an eye, it would limit the retaliation to ensure it did not go beyond the initial offense. So whenever it's saying eye for eye, you can't go above, because that's what our temptation would be, right? But he's saying in the law that that was the purpose of it. But what Jesus then goes on, not only does he quote it, he actually says, so this is what you've been hearing, and this is now what I'm going to say to you as a citizen of heaven. He says, what I'm going to say is, this is not a mandate for personal vengeance, but it's a principle guide for the courts. And what I'm going to say is that those who are righteous, you don't necessarily have to claim your rights. See, what they thought and what the religious leaders were teaching, they're saying, hey, God taught us this is the just way to do it. So now I'm going to get my rights. I have the right to take that eye, take that tooth, take that piece of property, and I'm going to do it. Jesus says, if you want to live a righteous life, if you want to follow me, then don't claim the right. He says, just forgive. Give it up. You don't have to show them justice. In fact, you can actually show them mercy. So what Jesus then goes on to say is, he says, so you don't necessarily have to claim the rights. Instead, I want you to accept insult and injury in your life without retaliating. Now see how counterintuitive that is for us in the flesh. Jesus says, accept insult. Accept injury. When people do bad things to you, love them anyway. Do good to them anyway. So he's teaching us to overcome, as I said, evil with good, or to overcome hatred with love, right? Jesus' disciples will be known by what? Their love, right? We are known for loving one another. We show that love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we show that love to the world. So we see then that when we look at retaliation, it's not something that is for the kingdom of heaven. And actually, retaliation only makes yourself and the offender feel worse. Because really, you know what you're doing? It's not peace that you're finding whenever you retaliate, right? What it is, it's a settled war. That's literally what it is. There's a difference between finding peace and settling a war. And if you just continue to retaliate, continue to do evil with evil, what you're doing is you're just eventually going to just continue to offend and hurt the other person. You're wanting them to suffer as much as you were suffering, or greater. And so what Jesus is saying, don't buy into that. Embrace goodness, embrace love, embrace peace. And so then within this text, what he does is he shares with us four illustrations of how we can do that. Four illustrations for how you can overcome evil with good. So he's clarifying for us what he meant by this. And though this is not an exhaustive list, when we think about these four illustrations, he's not saying these are the only examples that you are to not retaliate, right? No, this is just a life anthem for the Christian. If you want to honor Christ with your life, this is the spirit of what he's saying. Overcome evil with good. So in verse 39, we see, he says, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." So verse 39, we see the famous phrase, right, to turn the other cheek. And before he even says that, there's interesting, he says, not to resist an evil person. This is why I said it's so important that we recognize he uses hyperbole. Because if we literally took, do not resist an evil person, meaning if there's ever evil, wicked people doing anything wrong, Christian, don't resist them. Just let them do what they're going to do. You know what that literally could play out like? Hey, this person's coming to murder your family. Don't resist them. Right? Jesus isn't saying that. He's not saying to be salt and light means to be a doormat and just let people walk in. But what he is saying is, in this culture and time, if you were to be slapped on the right cheek, that's someone doing like this. Right? It was not really more a physical injury in which you were in real serious bodily harm. It was more an insult of dishonor, right? This culture is honor, dishonor, right? And so what they're saying is when you get slapped like that, that's very dishonorable. You're insulted. It would really hurt your pride and your honor. So what Jesus is saying is someone comes and is hurting your pride, don't retaliate. Don't do the insult back. Don't do the injury. Instead, what he says is turn your cheek. Or turn the other cheek. And what that basically means is, so not only are you going to let them slap this way, you're also going to let them slap that way. So that means make yourself vulnerable, even if it means you might be hurt again. If people insult you, offer forgiveness. And then recognize you might be insulted again. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's not, once again, not encouraging you to say, hey, you're in an abusive relationship and you might die, stay in the relationship. Jesus isn't teaching that. This is a personal issue of someone is offending you with a insult of what would be in this culture a slap to the face, right? We even use that in our language today, a slap to the face. We don't actually literally always mean someone is slapping us. So what he's saying is here, turn the other cheek, offer mercy and forgiveness, and don't strike back. And that could be with your actions or with your words. And I think we can do that very easy as Christians sometimes, especially with our words, right? We might not hit them, but we definitely are going to hit them hard with our words sometimes. Maybe not even to their face. Might be to, you know, behind their back. So we see in verse 39, it says, turn the other cheek. We then see in verse 40 that he goes on and says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. So once again, this is focusing on how they would work in the court system if there's something going on there. If someone is suing you and presumably that they have a just cause for suing you, what Jesus is saying, so if you have done something wrong to somebody and now they're upset and so they want to sue you for it, he says that not only are if they are suing you and they're getting your inner garment, or that would be your tunic, that would be the inner garment, that would be something that people could barter with and would easily be able to sell, and it was pretty valuable at the time. He's saying not only if they are suing you do you allow them to have that, but he's saying actually offer them your cloak as well. And now the cloak, it's interesting, in the Old Testament, you couldn't actually sue a person for their cloak. Because what the cloak would do is that was your primary protection for the cold weather. And it would actually double up as like a blanket. So you could be sued for your inner garments, but not for the cloak, the outer garments, because that was basically like a basic necessity for human existence at the time. And so when Jesus is saying this, he's not saying, once again, hyperbole, he's not saying, all my disciples, anytime you do something wrong, be naked. He's not saying, everybody be naked. Right? Instead, what he's saying is, if you recognize you've done something wrong and someone is really upset with you, go above and beyond what they are requiring of you. It's not saying just, you know, give your, you know, what they're suing you for and then say, well, they sued me for it, so they got it. And now you're just mad and they're mad and no, there's no real peace there. He's saying, be willing, reconcile. Do what it takes to show them that you are sincere, that you truly love them. He's saying, show goodness even through this evil situation. So we see then how he's saying not only give the tunic, but also the cloak. And then he kind of continues this thought process in verse 41, where he says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." So this is that go the second mile, go the extra mile, which I'm sure a lot of us just like turn the other cheek have heard a lot. And so what's interesting about what's going on in the culture at this time is the Jews were occupied and kind of ruled by the Romans. And what the Roman soldiers would do sometimes is they would actually, when they're traveling, they would have a lot of equipment or packs. And so there would be certain times where if they were tired or if they just didn't want to carry it for whatever reason, that they could commandeer one of the Jews. And they would say, hey, Jew, come here. And they give them a pack and they say, you have to travel with me for a mile. So you could be walking on the streets, you could be with your family, you could be working. And if someone comes over, a Roman says, you got to come with me, you have to just give up everything for that moment and go with them for a mile. And the Jews hated it. They said, this is going against my rights. This is against my honor, my pride, right? I don't like the Romans, right? There's a lot of racism going on between the Romans and the Jews at the time. Looking at one as being impure and unclean, godless. The other one saying that, you know, they were worthless. So there's a lot of this going on. And what Jesus is saying with this big thing going on in their culture, their context at the time, how does Jesus say respond? He says, go with them. Not only go with them an extra mile. So yeah, I understand. You don't like the Romans. You feel like your rights are being infringed. But what I'm going to tell you, not just go with them and then show them how much you love them by actually being a servant to them and saying, you're going to go an extra mile. And I think that's how we are to live our lives. When there are people who do us wrong, right? They infringe on maybe our property, our rights. We show them grace and we say, you know what? I'm going to serve you anyway. See, this is radical. Even if we're not actually, you know, taking people's teeth or their hands or whatever else is going on here or being full pacifist, Jesus is saying something radical here. He's saying you have to go against your flesh. You have to do things that other people in the world aren't going to do. And there are going to be times where you're like, well, I've done it a couple times and they're still not getting it. But Jesus is saying, keep going. Go that extra mile. Show that you're willing to be better and that you're going to honor Christ with your life. So we are called to go the extra mile. And then we see that in verse 42, and give to him who asks you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Once again with hyperbole. So go to him who asks you, or give to him who asks you. So anytime someone asks for something, give it to them. They want your child, give it to them. They want your house, give it to them. Jesus isn't saying that, right? Jesus is not saying give your firstborn child to a stranger. He's also not saying if someone is asking to borrow from you, that means if you know someone's a swindler and they're stealing from people, that doesn't necessarily mean encourage them, right? He's not teaching that, but what he is saying is as people of the kingdom are to be willfully generous, giving, being willing to part with things that might be actually very important to us at times. Right? So if there's something like, oh, I have this money and I've been saving up, but all of a sudden you find out that there's someone really in need. And you're like, I could give to them and they're asking for me. I could meet the need, but I just really don't want to because I could be buying this or I was really wanting to save up to get to this number in my bank account. Jesus is saying, be willing to part even from important possessions in your life to show good to the world. Once again, this is all echoing back to being salt and light, right? We're seeing this. To do good is to be salt and to be light. And so he's saying, give to those who ask. If you have the means to meet a need and you find out there is a need in the world, be the light, be the salt, meet the need, do good and overcome evil. So I think we see then within this text, Jesus is showing us these ways that it's illustrated to do good and to overcome evil with that good. But I think what Jesus is really calling us to do when he says overcome evil with good is I think he is actually calling us to die to self. I think this is calling us to die to self. Luke 9:23, it says, then he said, this is Jesus, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross. That means die daily and follow me. If you want to follow Christ, if you want to honor him, if you want to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you must die so that you can live. You must die to yourself, your own preferences, your pride, your own desires, your own goals in life. And you just say, I'm surrendering it to the King. Whatever Jesus wants me to do, I'm going to do it. And if Jesus says, overcome evil with good, I'm going to do it. If he says, turn the other cheek, I'm going to do it. If he says, go the extra mile, be generous, give, I'm going to do it. Because if we want, if we love the Lord, we want to obey him. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And what this requires, to die to self, it requires us to have the attributes that we saw in the Beatitudes, right? What does it say? It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It requires a lot of meekness to die to self and to trust Christ. To be able to accept insult and injury when people do us wrong, when there are injustices in this world. Jesus is saying you have to be meek and you have to desire peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? So we see blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, and that's what Jesus is calling his disciples to be. Meek and peacemakers. So we must be willing to suffer loss rather than cause another to suffer. That should be our mentality. We should be willing to suffer ourselves rather than cause someone else to suffer. But why can Christians do this? How can we do this with the power of the Spirit and still rejoice? It's because of the final point today that I think Jesus is drawing out. And it's because God will sort everything out. See, in our world today, it's always we think that we have to be the ones that just change the world, right? We put all of this weight, all this pressure on us as a Christian and thinking, we got to do it all. But what God is saying, just honor me, follow me, and everything else is going to be taken care of. God is in control, and that's what Jesus is pointing to. He's saying, trust God. God will set all things in order. Romans 12, verses 17 to 21, it says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, there are enemies that we have in our lives. There are people that will do wrong to us. But God is the King and God is the just judge. God sees all, God knows all, and he promises that one day his kingdom is going to come. And his will is going to be done here as it is in heaven. So we then can rejoice as citizens of heaven because we know that God will punish the guilty. Anyone that is guilty, anyone that has sinned against us, sinned against God, they will be punished. But he also says, and he will reward the righteous. Those who have turned from their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be forgiven and they will be rewarded as being citizens of the kingdom. So that means that if we're thinking about accepting injustice without retaliation, it shows that it's an expression of our trust in God. So any time that you are wronged and you can either choose to retaliate or you can choose to accept, it's really, do you trust God? Do you trust that God is going to set everything in order? He's going to make everything right. He's going to sort it all out. Do you truly believe that? Because if you believe that God's going to make everything right, he's going to make all things new. If you really believe that, you can take comfort and refuge in the fact that I don't have to be the person that always seeks vengeance. Because as I said, when you do that, if your whole life is all about vengeance and getting right and making sure your claims and your rights and your justice is always done, you're going to be very fatigued, very tired. And Jesus is saying, I don't want that burden for you. I have come to take that burden because the kingdom is coming for you. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, trust me, trust God, I will make all things right. And we see this great act of trust demonstrated in the life of Jesus Christ. The person who could have had all of the rights, all of the reasons to show justice, to judge the wicked, Jesus came to the earth, and what did he do? He showed mercy, grace, forgiveness, and he died on a cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he could have called a legion of angels to destroy all of the wicked people. Instead, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, God, who judges righteously. That's what Jesus is saying. Be willing to take insult, injury. Be willing to experience loss or suffer. But trust God through the process. Know that he knows and sees all, that he is going to make all things right because Christ did that. Christ knows the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray that we then would see this as we look, that we would not be overcome by evil in this world. Don't allow your love for the world to grow cold. Overcome the evil with good. Let us look to the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Let us pray. Father, we're so humbled to come to worship you in spirit and truth today. We thank you for your word, that we could come and hear this calling for the kingdom citizens to overcome this evil world with the love of Christ, with the goodness of God, that we could go and that we could know that we honor you and that we can endure life's trials because one day your kingdom will come to make all things right. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.